WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Talk show hosts speak out after ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely for comments about murdered conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
We have another fun, hilarious administration compliant show.
Former Vice President Pence at the Atlantic Festival.
The First Amendment, though, does not protect entertainers who say crass or thoughtless things, as Jimmy Kimmel did in the wake of a national tragedy.
A day after the CDC's new advisory panel voted to recommend separating the MMR and chickenpox vaccines for young kids, it'll take up other matters. CBS's Jared Hill.
Today, the advisory panel is set to look into whether hepatitis B vaccines should continue to be given on the day of birth or a month later.
Chelan County, Washington Sheriff Mike Morrison believes they've found the remains of the father suspected of killing his three young daughters in May.
We're not going to confirm that it is him, but we feel that there's a strong possibility it could be.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. Those gathered at the state capitol were greeted by the strings of the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra on Thursday for the state superintendent's State of Education Address. Dr. Jill Underley took to the podium to share the story of education in the Badger State.
Across Wisconsin, our public schools are strong. They are resilient places where every child belongs, where diversity is celebrated, not demonized, where differences aren't feared, but embraced and seen as opportunities to grow together as human beings.
Dr. Underley explained the opposition public schools are facing from the federal government.
Because instead of being a true partner, the federal Department of Education is using critical funding as a bargaining chip, threatening or withholding it with little or no notice, while demanding compliance with unclear and unlawful demands. They're working to undermine the very things that make our schools strong, welcoming and inclusive places.
She said when we overlook students, it shows up in their learning.
And those who reduce a student's success to a single test score miss the full story, the full human behind that number.
Dr. Underley also addressed the school voucher system.
And here's the truth. We are starving one system while funding another. We cannot afford to keep pulling resources away from public schools to fund private ones and expect both to thrive.
She said the next chapter's pages are still blank.
Will we be the generation that looked away as our schools crumbled? Or will we be the ones who stood up, kept our promise, and chose to write a different story?
What happens next is up to Wisconsinites.
Let us choose to write a better story for our kids, for our schools, for the Wisconsin we believe in. Thank you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers traveled to Cleveland to play the Browns on Sunday. Yesterday, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft went down during practice with a knee injury. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich asked if he saw what happened.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be all right, but we'll just kind of see how it goes. Obviously, if anyone goes down that you have as a part of your game plan, you'll have to adjust some things. So we'll kind of see what happens with the injury report and everything like that and what the trainers say, and we'll make adjustments.
It appears to not be season-ending. College football, the Badgers at home tomorrow at Camp Randall against Maryland. Game time, 11 a.m. It's Wisconsin's first conference game of the season. The Brewers with another win. They beat the Angels 5-2, completing a three-game sweep. Tonight, the Brewers in St. Louis against the Cards. The magic number now at 4.
Tough road trip coming up with travel and all that kind of stuff. Night game, travel the next day and play. Can't take anything for granted. Just got to keep banging away.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies for today. Most of the day will be dry, but a shower, perhaps a thunderstorm, possible late in the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Showers and thunderstorms becoming more likely tonight. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s to near 60. Currently, it's 62.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Friday morning, September 19th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us by podcast or through the website, or maybe watching us on social media right now, which is concerning to some people. I will explain in just a bit, but thanks for wrapping up your week right here. I got a question for you. Would you like to win some free Brewers tickets? It is the final installment of Free Ticket Friday. And in just a few minutes, less than 15, I will give you the keyword for today, for this morning, I should say, between now and 9 a.m., where you can text us using the Civic Media app, calling up one of the radio stations on the app, using the text feature, texting us the keyword, and I'll let you know about how you can go about winning that with the keyword coming up in just a bit. On this morning's program, we'll talk about Jill Underlie, Wisconsin's Superintendent of Public Instruction, not exactly sugarcoating the current environment in her annual State of Education address Thursday at the Capitol. We'll have Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom talking about some of the week's big stories, along with our Week in Review panel, which has some thoughts on the latest capitulation from corporate media and how it has emboldened Donald Trump to outright threaten the license of broadcasters simply for not liking what they say about him. And we'll ask the panel, what kind of role can journalists and their readers, listeners, and viewers play in pushing back against this latest example of a wannabe dictator doing whatever he wants, including making a mockery of the First Amendment? That's coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. In our 8 o'clock hour, for struggling families on lower incomes, there are food banks, but some of those families are also in need of basic household items like diapers. There is a diaper bank in Southeast Wisconsin that is holding a special campaign this week where donations are being matched and doubled. We'll talk to our friend Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good and the Milwaukee Diaper Mission, which also helps women with basic hygiene supplies as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will preview her weekend show, and Mike Clemens will get a set for the Packers at Cleveland and the Brewers spending the weekend in St. Louis. First, however, the weather from meteorologist Brittany Merlot says a soaking weekend is on the way for some parts of the state as a slow-moving massive system has moved in, sending waves of rain over the next couple of days. The state forecast for today, breezy and cloudy, on and off rain, maybe some thunder. Highs in the upper 60s up north, mid-70s south, and east wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour. For tonight, the rain will be ramping up and could be heavy at times. Lows tonight in the mid-50s up north, around 60 to the south, with an east wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. She'll have full forecast details less than an hour from now, but looking at the radar, you can really get an appreciation of this system. Essentially, it looks to be sitting somewhere over maybe south-central Minnesota right now. And so Wisconsin, Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, most of Iowa, parts of northern Illinois, big old spiral of rain. And it's one of those where, as Brittany said yesterday, it's going to be tough to predict exactly who's going to get rain, you know, when. But it's just a whole lot of spotty rain activity. And so you just have to plan that you're going to be getting some rain at some point or another off and on throughout the course of the weekend. And again, Brittany has further details on that coming up in just a bit. But first, we head down to Madison Studio A2, where we see the concerned face of one Parker Olson. And
concerned.
Yeah. And then Alicia, too. Alicia puts on YouTube, "Ooh, what's in the honeycomb design on your shirt?" Okay, be not afraid, people.
I was a little concerned.
I actually do own shirts that do not have plaid designs on them. I do.
Is this the only one?
Very much, because you're going for comfort. Oh, no, there's plenty of them. But today just kind of felt like I could put this one on, which is it's got a white base. It's a short sleeve, you know, dress shirt. It's got a white base, but then it's got all these, I don't know, hexagons or whatever they are. Kind of has a honeycomb thing. And so it's got a kind of a beach theme. Some of them look like they have little palm fronds in there.
Oh, is that what they are? Or, okay.
Yep. Or just, you know, the colors of the Caribbean, I guess you could say. Ah. So it's a bit of a little festive Friday fun.
Yeah,
with the wardrobe today.
Gotta get styling a little here.
Yeah, I mean, there's many a time where I reach for something like a solid. I've got this solid orange shirt. It's very bright. It's very colorful. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's a bit much.
I appreciate actually avoiding mm-hmm. that.
And as I've said before, again, between being a news anchor and being a legislator, I wore, you know, just the standard suit and tie, a lot of different ties, a lot of different suits, frankly, but a lot of solid color shirts for years and years and years. So to be at this age now and have this job now where, you know, the plaid shirt is kind of the requisite uniform, I'm okay with it. You know, I still like to dress up now and then, but
I do like dressing up.
Comfort is important. So,
yeah. No, I am very, very appreciative of how laid back we are here.
There you go. Laid back is it. What's on the docket for this weekend for you?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Going down on Sunday, hanging out with a couple of friends, watching the Packer game. Hoping to have some wings. I hear we're stopping at a wings place, which I'm very excited about.
You're excited about a wings place?
I am more excited about the wings than I am about watching the Cleveland Browns play the Packers.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. Does that include watching the Badgers as well as they take on Maryland tomorrow?
Yeah, that'll probably be part of my Saturday, too. Yeah.
You don't sound too jazzed up about it, though.
No. I can't say I'm exactly thrilled on that one.
And
that might be second
screen
content.
That's why we got Civic Media here for you. Yeah. We have saved a lot of people. Well, the Badgers have saved a lot of people the time of actually sitting glued to a TV watching the football team.
Yeah.
And basically, Put it on the radio and listen in the background as you do everything else that you want to do. And that's what you'll get as the Badgers open the Big Ten season tomorrow, hosting Maryland. You can hear the pregame starting at 9 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. And, of course, the Packers, as Parker mentioned, Sunday, it's a noon game against Cleveland. Pregame begins at 10 a.m. Sunday on stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, and Wautoma. So you'll be watching the Packer game with friends this weekend.
I'll be watching the Packer game with friends. The Badgers will probably be second screen content.
yes.
Because
there's a lot of seconds. Yeah. So you will do two screen viewing of things.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Last weekend, my dad and I, we have the TV in the basement and we have my TV from our room. I brought my TV in my room down to the basement so that we could mm-hmm. have two things going. And yep. I'll tell you what, Whitewater plays against the number 6 team in the country tomorrow, and that will be the first TV content while the Badgers are on the other TV, kind of off in the corner, not being thought about nearly as much.
I'd be curious to know what percentage of the population is used to watching two screens at once and how often they do it. And I mean this in both the TV way and the social media way. For example, I mean, I'm very much a dual screen watcher. Let's say the Academy Awards. Yeah. And then on the other screen, I'm either watching, you know, social media comment on things or I'm yapping back and forth with my friends about it. But then there's the dual screen, the TV stuff. Yesterday, last night being a perfect example. As often happens on Thursday, we go to our local watering hole and meet up with some friends and neighbors there. But this particular bar, like a lot of places, does not have, they depend on Dish or one of the other places that does not have an agreement with FanDuel Sports, formerly Bally, formerly FSN, or whatever the heck it is, because that group has been at an impasse with Dish Network and other things for years now. And that's why I could never have something like say a Dish Network, because I mean, if you can't watch the Brewers, why bother? So while a lot of people are watching the Cubs and the Reds up on the TVs, because they were part of a national TV game on Fox last night, other folks are gathered around me
on your phone,
on my iPhone, because I've got the Spectrum on there. I just turned that puppy sideways. I set it on the bar in front of me and I had people watching there.
Yeah, you and I are the same, Pat. We used to do that a lot while we were eating dinner in Whitewater. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So there's a lot of dual screen stuff. Now, speaking of that Brewer game, Quinn Priester starts the game last night.
It's perfect.
Perfect through four innings, 12 men up, 12 men down, including six straight strikeouts to begin the game. And he still got a no decision in this one. Yeah. Which was really rough. The Brewers would eventually come back to win. And that's the thing. Even though he got a no decision, when Quinn Priester is pitching, whether he gets a decision or not, the Brewers have won 19 in a row. Yeah, when you start the game like that, that really helps.
Yeah, you know? It's pretty helpful. I think I read yesterday that if the Brewers get one more win with him starting, it'll tie Roger Clemens' record of 20 wins when they pitch. Yeah,
that would be cool. Yeah, and Christian Yelich, he's not doing so bad. He just he hit RBI number 100 yesterday. 100 runs batted in, first time he's done that since 2018, when he had 110 ribbies and was named the National League MVP.
That was
so
a good
here
year.
He is, triple digits. Once again for him. So,
and
I mean, that comeback from back surgery. I'm one of those. I was one of them with the back surgery. I thought, well, that's it. You know, vaya con Dios. Have a good retirement. I was wrong.
I'm glad you were wrong, Pat.
I am too. Very much so. Jacob Mizorowski will start tonight in St. Louis, and that will get us going on a three-game weekend series for the Brewers against St. Louis, and the pregame will get going at 6:40. On stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. All right, while we're talking baseball, let me give you the keyword for this morning. Here's the thing. There's only one homestand left. It's next weekend when Cincinnati comes to town. And so for Free Ticket Friday, you have a chance to win four tickets to the game next Friday night when the Brewers take on the Cincinnati Reds. So get that Civic Media app out and get set to text us this keyword until 9 a.m., blue, like the color, B-L-U-E. Text us blue, and you will be in the running. There will be more keywords throughout the weekend, more keywords throughout the day, and so more chances to enter, and then one of the day's entries will be chosen at random to win those tickets. All right, very quick, because we're going to have Kia Vakil coming up next, and then today's history lesson. Just a quick note that Dr. Jill Underly, the state superintendent of public instruction, held her state of education address yesterday at the Capitol, as reported here by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Cleo Krejci. And the poll quote out of it is quite simple. This year, the biggest schoolyard bully in our public schools is our own federal government. She was talking about the hostility that the Trump administration and the Republican Congress has. And frankly, with Governor Tony Evers stepping back, look for Underly to be in a secure position to give the most unvarnished review of how the legislature is treating our children and undermining our public schools. She criticized the use of the U.S. Department of Education funding as some kind of a bargaining chip. And, of course, she came back to the near generation of shortchanging our public schools by the legislature, forcing school boards to ask local taxpayers to hike their own property taxes just to cover basic operating costs as the legislature passes the buck. Underly had a lot more to say. We are going to hear about it from her directly next Wednesday in our weekly hometown segment at 7:30 from Dr. Underly. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a tech.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
The workday begins the moment you put on your boots. At Boot Barn Work, we know you need work gear that holds strong until you kick them off at the end of the day. No matter the job, Ariat Work Gear performs week after week, year after year, with fit, mobility, and safety features built for the jobs that keep our nation moving. Ariat provides nonstop performance day in and day out. Ariat at Boot Barn Work.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's get into it. Part of our week in review, as we do Fridays here on the show, with Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national political editor, joining us back home in Los Angeles. Kia, hello, how are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Past couple of weeks, you've been on, I was going to say on the road. Well, no, it wasn't the road. You were in the air. You were overseas. Yes. You were over in Europe. Where was it? Vienna and Munich were the highlights?
No, I went to Berlin, Vienna, Prague, and Krakow. I was abroad for a little over 3 weeks, and I haven't traveled in a little while, and I just wanted to do some travel and take a break from the state of the news.
I'm very much an advocate of travel and getting away from the headlines for a while, because you got to plug back in. You can't unplug full time. And that's always my biggest fear, is that too many people have unplugged and said, well, you can't change anything anyway, even as, you know, the First Amendment is being shredded and things like that. So now that you're back, let's get into things here. And boy, last week, I would have said the overarching theme, because of the Charlie Kirk murder, was this wrestling of how do you talk about the legacy of somebody with so many negatives and yet be against political violence. That, to me, seems to be a distant memory now, because the tour of vengeance that Republicans have gone on have now taken us onto a completely different plane of freedom of expression versus what wannabe autocrats want to do. That seems to be the overarching theme this week to me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're completely shredding the First Amendment. And any arguments that Trump, J.D. Vance, all these guys, top to bottom, right-wing activists have made about free speech or paid speech or freedom of expression, you know, turned out to be total BS. And that's not shocking to me. And to be clear, there are some voices on the right who are principled and, you know, pushing back on this all-out assault on teachers, college administrators, college students, airline pilots, journalists, political pundits, people, everyone who are saying things, you know, that are, you know, maybe ugly and celebrating Kirk's death and that I find distasteful, to folks who are quoting his own words and just posting that they didn't like his views and, you know, condemn his death but didn't like his views. All those people are getting doxxed, fired, harassed, investigated by the government, from Texas to Ohio to Virginia, all over the country. And it's a modern day McCarthyist Red Scare. It's cracking down on people's freedom of speech. You can disagree with that speech. And look, I'm not going to pretend like the left has always gotten that completely right either. You could probably point to some overreach, but we've never seen anything like this under Democratic leaders, where they're using an arm of the state and working with really extreme activists online to harass and target and essentially encourage people to snitch on others for their posts online. And it's extremely ugly. It's extremely concerning. And then even worse is we now have corporations who are censoring, whether it's Jimmy Kimmel, his late night show being pulled off the air, whether it's, again, reporters being fired or benched or whatnot, or companies that are just afraid of how to cover this in terms of not engaging with his views or whitewashing them. It's terrifying, the moment we're in. This is the sort of thing I read about in history books growing up and being like, oh, gee, I'm glad we're past that. We turned out, you know, we're not past it. It's roared its ugly head, reared its ugly head again. And, you know, I think most Americans probably think this is too far and find this to be, I think most people broadly don't like political assassination, don't think he should have died, maybe had a lot of people disagreed with him, a lot of people agreed with him. But I also think most people do not think this crackdown is appropriate. But that doesn't really matter. We're not in a majoritarian country anymore.
No. And when you mentioned McCarthyism, again, being from Wisconsin, who'd have thought well, a lot of us would have thought we'd have the next McCarthy coming from Wisconsin, that in Derek Van Orden. But of course, you monitor, you know, all the Courier newsroom outlets around the country. And so while he may be very special for the hundreds upon hundreds of tweets that he's put out, I'm sure that in plenty of the other states, like you're hinting at, there are members of Congress or other elected officials who I think in an equal measure, history will not be kind to when we look at, you know, defending our freedom of speech in this country.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's Governor Greg Abbott in Texas celebrating the firing of teachers, college professors, students being expelled because they made like a distasteful video. Again, like these are public institutions. They are covered by the First Amendment. Those are lawsuits waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get sued for a lot. And they deserve it. You know, if and when the courts still uphold the First Amendment, which I think, depending on which courts you wind up in, some will and some won't. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, for as far gone as the Supreme Court is, you know, if you invalidate, if you essentially say the First Amendment doesn't apply, then you're asking for something much uglier than what's happening, right? You're asking for people pushing for a new constitution, a constitutional revolution. Like, you can't say the First Amendment doesn't apply. And that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Although perhaps the most chilling thing I would have heard all week, you just uttered when you dropped the little phrase, depending on which court you go to. You never thought you'd have to say that about First Amendment rights in this country. This week was supposed to be about other things. We are still careening toward another government shutdown. The budget hasn't been resolved. The Epstein files remain covered up. I mean, there's still actual work to be done in D.C., and I'm betting you're going to say very little progress was made on any of it this week.
Yeah, no, the government shutdown we're barreling towards in a little under 2 weeks. At this point, I'd put money on the fact that it's going to happen. You have Republicans who have no interest in negotiating, even though they need Democratic votes. You have Democrats who are sort of on the same page, but not, you know, not exactly presenting a like really strong argument. So it's just a mess.
There will be a lot to cover over these next couple of weeks. And we, again, now as the Courier staff grows and the team grows, we'll have Cam Stevenson coming from Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill, every Tuesday for us, and Kia Vakil helping us wrap up the week on Fridays. Kia, thank you as always for everything. Glad you're home safe. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Back with today's history lesson in just a moment. You're up north. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. 97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Artificial intelligence, it is the buzzword these days. Many people concerned that AI will cost people their jobs. At UW-Platteville, they've got a different perspective. They see artificial intelligence creating more jobs in agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. We'll find out how they're harnessing the power of AI for jobs of the future next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
This fall at UW-Platteville, they are creating curriculum to provide job opportunities for students that are pursuing technology in agriculture. Tara Montgomery is the director of the School of Agriculture at UW-Platteville. She says it's a tool students are already familiar with and using. Now, let's show them how it can be used in agriculture and turn into a job.
So looking at precision agriculture from the agronomy standpoint and within our ag engineering technology, bringing in more equipment so that students can learn drone work, learn how to take the data that can be generated in the field, and then how to apply it. So not just taking the data, but learning how equipment can be upgraded to be able to collect the kind of data that we want, learn how to position the equipment so that the satellites can pick up the information.
Tara Montgomery, she's the director of the School of Agriculture at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, where they're embracing artificial intelligence in the industry. Montgomery says, well, automation will affect manual labor jobs. It's also creating demand for high-tech skills in artificial intelligence, data analysis, and technology management, and she wants UW-Platteville students to be ready.
What makes Dairyland Seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
And Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Secretary of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, has also been named president of the Midwestern Association of State Departments of Agriculture. The announcement came during their national meeting in Arkansas this month. That's a look at food news on a Friday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies for today. Most of the day will be dry, but a shower, perhaps a thunderstorm, possible late in the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Showers and thunderstorms becoming more likely tonight. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s to near 60. Currently, it's 62.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You work so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared.
That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel as we go deep on what Charlie Kirk said, the GOP's response to his assassination, and what is hate speech. Really, don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Heavy rain falling, seems I hear your voice calling, it's all right.
Oh, today's history lesson, we start with Brooke Benton, or Greg Bach doing his best Brooke Benton.
A rainy night in Georgia.
Brooke Benton, born this day in 1931. He had several R&B hits in the 50s and 60s. He actually put 50 songs on the Billboard charts as a singer or songwriter, but then he had a comeback hit in 1970 with Rainy Night in Georgia. Listen, listen. Like it's raining all I could listen to that voice. Here we go. Listen to this.
Neon signs flashing.
Come on.
Taxi cabs and buses passing through the night.
All right. I'm done admiring singers for the moment. Aww. Here's Greg Bach. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, man.
Hey, there we go.
For the show and talk about musical memories.
There.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
All right. Ooh, you got any big plans for the weekend?
No, not really.
Good. I love hearing that.
Yeah. Honestly, like I'm thinking because, I'm going to, if the weather is handling itself, I'm going to try to do some stuff out in the yard and kind of start to wind those projects down. But if not, then I'm going to sit and hang out with my wife and my dog.
Always fun to do, you know? Let's see. I'm supposed to ask Tony asks if you're still using your CPAP machine and how you're feeling.
Oh, good Lord. Of course I am. I use it every... Here's the thing is, if I don't use it, it's because I've fallen asleep and I didn't get a chance to put it on. Mm-hmm. But it is a part of the every night experience.
Very nice.
Very important.
Samesies. Thank you.
Good. Good.
You guys, your good sleep.
Yeah. On this day in 1796, George Washington delivered his farewell address. On this day in 1982 was the first documented use of emoticons, which was simply a smiley face made with a colon and a dash and a parentheses. And it was used on the Carnegie Mellon University bulletin board system. Because apparently nobody thought to do that on a typewriter.
I mean, yeah.
I'm calling BS on that one.
I don't like the hyphen for the nose. That makes me a little uncomfortable.
Well, that's because you see young kids like you grew up in this era where emoticons, I mean, you get the whole emoji, it's animated, like the little face winks at you and everything. Back in our day, we just had to type a colon and a dash and a parentheses, and that was all we got. That's all we got for choices.
Colon, parentheses. That's where I stand.
Okay, just don't want the nose. You're anti-nose.
I'm anti-nose.
Or you just
your
or
nose
you just type in the you type in the whoa you type in the letter. I'm smiling at you right now, which is very weird.
I just type out laughing out loud. Yeah. And everybody knows what I'm talking about.
I send a voice note of me laughing.
Let's go to 1960. 65 years ago today, the number one song was by Chubby Checker. That song had some staying power. It came up the charts again 2 years later. It would become the first single ever to hit number one two different times. Probably because it's the only dance most of us can do. And just swivel your hips. Bend your knees.
He's got Let's Twist Again, the twist.
Yes,
slow
the peppermint twist.
Peppermint twist.
Oh, yeah.
He has a lock on the twist-based economy when it comes to music.
Twist-based economy. Yeah, you ride that horse until it can't run no more. Yep, good for him. On this day in 1893, New Zealand became the first country to grant all women the right to vote. Happy birthday to singer Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers. He is 85 years old today. Talk about singers with deep voices. So Bill Medley and the late Bobby Hatfield formed the Righteous Brothers. Bill Medley grew up listening to Ray Charles, Little Richard, and B.B. King. In fact, the term blue-eyed soul was coined by a Philadelphia DJ to describe the sound of Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield.
Wow.
And Medley said the name Righteous Brothers came from a group of black Marines at the El Toro base who liked their style and referred to them as Righteous Brothers. Here's the thing about Bill Medley. He just turned 85 earlier this year as an 84-year-old. He released his latest album. He's still recording albums.
God, I've done nothing with my life.
Well, no, hang on, Greg. This might be awful. We don't know. Is this a good album? No.
Why would you say that about an 85-year-old music legend?
We have already talked about how some of the guys have to hang them up, and they don't hang them up. They still tour. I'm just saying.
This just in, Parker hates old people doing music.
I would like to write my formal apology to the FCC.
Yes, please.
I understand.
Please, before we get yanked here, you know? You upset an old white guy. You're in trouble now, pal.
Topical.
All right. Greg, I'm going to play from this next birthday. I'm just going to ask Parker to start the music. Parker's moving around. Is there a mouse running around your feet? What's going on there?
Honest to God, I'm pretty sure a spider was just crawling up my leg.
I don't even know how to respond. You almost jumped up on the stool like in the cartoons when there was a mouse in the house and lift up your house dress.
Okay, I'm sorry. You want the song now?
As I was saying, Greg,
yes.
I'm going to have Parker, now that he's composed himself, play this next one, our next birthday boy. And I just want to see if you can, how long it takes you to guess who this is based on the guitar stylings and then the singing. So, Parker, hit today's birthday boy. Oh. I give it just a second. Wait for the lead guitar here. It's about to come in. There we go. Now, if I tell you it's Chic, does that help?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Nile Rodgers.
Nile Rodgers is 73 years old today, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was with Chic, then he became a legendary record producer. His records have sold more than 500 million copies. Mm-hmm. Nile Rodgers is 73 today.
He's still amazing.
Yeah. I have not one, not two, but three notes here about the year 1970. It was on September 19th, 1970, that Diana Ross, after leaving the Supremes, got her first number one solo hit. Parker, you got to hit the button here. I'm pointing at you.
He's looking for the spider. He's looking for the spider.
There ain't no mountain high enough for Parker to get up and away from the spider.
Man, that FCC joke really came back to bite me quick. I didn't know they could send
something
in spider.
Just like the spider.
Yes, but a bump. Okay, so there's Diana Ross with Ain't No Mountain High Enough, her first solo hit this day in 1970. Also on this day in 1970, again, we're back to doing series premieres here, the premiere of The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh.
And I didn't know whether we wanted to do a sing-along, Greg. You know, who can turn the world on with her smile? Let's see. And happy birthday to Freda Payne. The singer is 83 years old, and she had a 1970 hit, Band of Gold. Happy birthday to Trisha Yearwood, who turned 61 years old today. If she and Garth Brooks been married now. Boy, I bet that's...
I think like 10, 15 years solid.
Yeah.
Good for them. Or as he refers to himself, Mr. Yearwood. I love that.
Mr. Yearwood, yes.
Let me see. How long have Garth and Trisha been married? I love that, Google. Thank you very much, Google. 19 years, almost 20 years.
Good for them. That's fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. Right. All right, there you go. Longer than I thought. Good.
Here's another birthday today. Jimmy Fallon is 51 years old today and still employed, at least for another day.
You know,
we never know.
Yeah.
On this day in 1985, You remember this one, Greg, when Tipper Gore and other political wives formed the Parents Music Resource Center to get labels on albums that had explicit language?
Yes.
Meanwhile, Frank Zappa, John Denver, and others testified at congressional hearings about obscenity and rock music.
Dee Snider.
Dee Snider as well. That's right. Yep.
Yeah,
So that's why you have labels, is because Al Gore's wife and others said we got to slap a label on these things.
And they fought it tooth and nail, and they really, like, it was a big deal. And then what they come to find is that when you put the labels on the records, it would sell more.
Exactly. They figured that out. Like, they stopped fighting it. We're like, okay, this will work. Yeah, sure. We'll put a label on everything. On this day in 1987, The Grateful Dead hit number 10 with Touch of Grey, their only song to hit the top 10 on the Hot 100. On this day in 1989, a new series began with Neil Patrick Harris as a teenage physician. That's right, Doogie Howser, M.D., premiered this day in 1989 on ABC and is still around. Neil Patrick Harris, he's got some staying power.
Absolutely. Well, he went away for a while. Everyone's like, oh, who's he? And then he came back. We're like, oh, we love him. It's always what happens.
Yes.
There's a star. They're amazing. We love them. We're sick of them. We say no thank you. And then we act like we never saw them. And then we're like, oh, my gosh, where did you go? And they're like, yeah, you stopped booking me. So also,
that's on you.
Two things. I feel like if you took a picture of Parker when he was younger, like he was 12, he would look very Doogie.
Oh, very Doogie. Yes. Yeah.
Also, Parker, there's a spider on your shoulder.
Greg? Shaking in my boots here.
One more tune here. On this day in 1999, the Chicks became the first group in the history of the Billboard 200 album chart to have a country album debut at number one with the album Fly.
Yes.
Fly not only had this song, Cowboy Take Me Away, it had Goodbye Earl, If I Fall, You're Going Down With Me, Ready to Run, and Sin Wagon.
I'll still
listen to that album front to back.
Yes, I was going to say, I love all of the Chicks' music. I celebrate their entire discography, but I think Fly may be a perfect album.
Oh, without a doubt. And And no wonder it debuted at number one. They were riding a wave of popularity, and people took to that album right away.
Yeah.
On this day in 2011, one of those TV things that you don't know if it's going to work or not, Ashton Kutcher debuted on 2 and a Half Men, replacing Charlie Sheen. And it worked. It hung around for, like, I think, 4 more seasons.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a weird show.
And 1 year ago today, Shohei Ohtani created the 50-50 club. He became the first player in baseball history to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases in a single season. That guy's better than you and me and everybody else who's ever played baseball.
Yeah, but the Brewers swept them.
They can't take that away from us.
Nope.
Today is National Butterscotch Pudding Day. I haven't had butterscotch pudding since I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
This is both Concussion Awareness Day and National Overthinkers Day. Coincidence?
Of course.
I don't know.
Wow. That's a real thinker.
It is a real thinker, yeah. And finally, Greg, it is National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I bet you there's pirates who talk like me. Just like, hey, guys, would you like to go plunder the booty over there? We'd like to get some...
I knew Greg was just not gonna go along with this.
We're gonna steal this ship and all its wares. And frankly, I don't like the misrepresentation of me in TV and films. Thank you very much. I may be a pirate, but I'm also a person.
I'd love just him go, hey, you guys, we're taking over your ship, okay?
Hope let me squeeze past you.
Hope let me squeeze past you here as we walk.
Hey, my name is Bluebeard. I'm here to take your stuff. Yeah.
Craig Bach, you can hear him on Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 9 to 11, right after this program on the Civic Media Radio Network. Much more ahead of the next couple of hours of these mornings with Pat Quite Low, powered by Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are we going to listen to this for a full minute, Pat?
Oh, no.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin spaceflight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. On this September 18th, 2025, have your host, James, here. We're joined by our great friend, Jen McNally, natural resource groundwater educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Jen, always good hanging out with you. You know how much I enjoy not only hanging out with you, but learning with you, and I know the audience does, too.
Thanks, James.
You don't really do, like, average topics. You don't really do things where we're going to go into something that I think people have heard before or anything. You're picking a topic today that I think is very universal.
Yeah.
But just doing a quick read of this, I think you got a lot of stuff in here that is common knowledge.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah, we wanted to, you know, time of the year, I always try and think about what information people might need or might want to know. And so that's how we settled on today's topic, which is fall well maintenance and plumbing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Which is only getting to be a bigger and bigger topic as we go on and we see the flooding happening in parts of our state, even here locally in Rapids. I know my parents, anytime they're going to see a lot of rain, they start to worry.
Yeah.
It's something to think about.
That's a great point. I didn't even think of that. So I appreciate that.
It's covering bases with you. That's all we do. It's a team effort here. But yeah, as the cold
cold weather is beginning to move in, we're going to hopefully prepare some people, help people be prepared a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, that time of year where people are out there doing yard work and stuff. And so it's a great time of year to also just take stock of the situation. So a lot of what we're probably going to talk about today really is highly applicable for those people who live in more rural areas and have a private well. But we'll also touch on a couple topics for those that live in the city, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, no matter what, it's a great time, like you said, before the cold settles in to take a look at your plumbing and your well situation to find out if everything is in good working order. That's really something that we want people to do at least once a year.
Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect time to do that. And Jen, are there like tips for fall plumbing that you have maybe?
Yeah. So the big one is if people have a private well, really one thing that we want folks to do is to really take a close look at their well cap. So most people who have a private well will have a pipe anywhere from 2 to 3 feet, typically, that's sticking out above the ground. And that pipe should have a secure well cap located on the top of it. And what we want folks to do is to take a close look, not only at the cap, but also at the pipe. Are there any cracks in it? Have you run it over with a lawnmower recently and damaged it?
I've done that. Yeah, I've done exactly. That. I'll be honest. I've done that.
You know, make sure that cap should have screws in it. Make sure that those screws are there and that cap is tight on the top. And then one place that a lot of folks don't look on the underside of that well cap, there are usually one or two small screens that allow like pressure to change within that well. Sometimes those screens get knocked out of place. And so we want folks to kind of either get down below it and look, or to even feel, are those screens still in place? Are there any holes or anything like that? I personally had a private well in a different home that I lived in, and those screens were missing, and we didn't know that until we had our water quality tested and had a bacteria issue, and come to find out ants had gotten into our well and caused this bacteria issue, and everything looked fine, but we really hadn't taken that really close inspection. So, you know, it's a good reason for people to take a close look.
All great tips, especially so many of these things, and this is not a judgment thing. We all do this to a degree with certain things.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's there. It's good.
Right?
You know, it's already in place. I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
There's a lot to think about. There's a lot to do around a home. It's understandable that certain things might get missed or just not thought about even. Appreciate you bringing attention to some of this, and especially the detail to it, because the screens, like I thought I was hanging with you on the cap and seal. My dad is pretty good about that and keeping an eye on it. He really got me and my brother and sister to look for those things. But ooh, the screen, I didn't think about that. That's good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And sometimes folks don't even know where that well is located on their property. So that's always a good thing too, that if you're like, huh, I really don't even know where that pipe is, it's a good chance to go out and try and locate it, or to differentiate it from your septic system too. If you live out in the country, you'll have some observation pipes for your septic system. And a lot of times those two things can be confused with each other because they both have caps. Mm-hmm. And it's also a great time of year to go out and take a look at your septic system, too. Make sure the caps are there on those and that your septic tank lid is locked down, and that you're maintaining your annual maintenance on your septic system, that you should also be doing. So good chance for both of those. One other thing that we encourage people to do with that pipe, you know, and I think it's especially pertinent as we're doing yard work and stuff, is mm-hmm. we really want to make sure that we also don't have a bunch of like vegetation around that pipe or piled on top of it. And that we're also thinking about when it comes time for snow, which knock on wood, we're mm-hmm. not dealing with yet, that we're not piling snow on top of that pipe as well, because that vegetation can encourage, you know, different rodents or, you know, insects or whatever else to take up habitat there. Snow carries a lot of different stuff with it, which is not good for our water. And so we just want to make sure that we're, you know, maintaining a clear space around that well pipe in addition We also want to take a look if your well is closer to your home, where your downspouts are coming mm-hmm. from and where those downspouts are directing water to. If you have water directly flowing towards that well pipe, that's not a great thing in terms of like bacteria. Bacteria loves like moist, wet conditions to grow in. And so if you have standing water pooling around that well pipe or flowing towards it, that's just asking for potential for bacteria growth. So those are also things that we want people to kind of be aware of and where water is going.
Really good idea about checking where those downspouts are directed. That's mm-hmm. a really good one to it, too. And all these things are, I wouldn't, you know, depending on where your well is located and stuff, this is a case-by-case basis, certainly. But I don't think anything that you've suggested or brought up right now is really, you know, arm-breaking or anything. It's not a huge task. And the payoff is so worth it.
Right. It's more of a safety precaution thing, you know, keeping trouble from happening. You know, there was a survey done for folks who were, you know, looking at addressing potential issues, and the cost savings by doing it upfront is just huge compared to what
you were listening to. The Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Talk show hosts present and past speak out after ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely over comments about the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. David Letterman spoke at the Atlantic Festival.
You can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian.
FCC Chair Brendan Carr tells Fox.
This is a massive shift that's taking place in the media ecosystem, and I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
Officials in Washington state believe they found the remains of fugitive father Travis Decker near Leavenworth. Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison.
We're hoping to get results back and get a confirmation. Is this Mr. Decker or is it not? And we're also looking towards our medical team to go through and do an assessment of how long he'd been deceased.
President Trump expected to confirm a deal with China's Xi Jinping today to save TikTok in the U.S.
The kind of money we're talking about is very substantial. And it'll be owned by all American investors.
CBS News Brief.